Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Yisro. I have to start with a story that I've just been thinking about. So the story is about Rav Natan Liaf Amsterdam. It was on Purim. He said to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he said, Rebbe, if I had the midos of Rebbe, if I had the heart of the Yisod V'Shirosh Avoda, and I had the cup of the Shagas Aryeh, then I'd be able to, and of course, at this point in time, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter stopped him, and he said, Naftali, you need your head, you need your heart, you need your midos. We're not put in a place in the world where our avoda is for something which is not ours. So I kind of thought about this and the idea of ve'enei k'sil b'k'tzei ha'aretz, k'sil, a fool, is always looking, you know, somewhere else. I think that as I develop the idea further and I try to grow a little bit, I think that people have a yetzer hara to think that their avoda is not in front of them and that they don't see what they're doing as an avoda. And this is kind of the pshat, maybe in the obliviousness that we have based on our yetzer hara, regarding to our yetzer hara, meaning that just the amazing, amazing blind spot that we have to see when or when not the yetzer hara is operating. And I think that that's just a, you know, it's an important thing. Ask your family, did your yetzer hara try to do anything with you this week? You know, did it try to do anything today? Did it try to do anything at this Shabbos table? I wonder if that would yield anything interesting. Rashi in Chaf Tes and Yud says, Shesha Simin Tavod Asisa Kol Melachtecha. Rashi brings a Chazal Kol Melachtecha Asuya. The idea is brought down in the Torah that, like, you're supposed to consider it as if all your work is done. There's a story about the Kedushas Tzion, and he had a lot of work to do with respect to his yeshiva, and he was traveling and doing work for yeshiva, and there came Erev Shabbos, and he brought in Shabbos relatively early. So people asked, like, why are you doing this? He said, well, there's so much tircha, I wanted a hesach hadas from all that tircha. So I think that, you know, depending on what tekufa everybody's in, this may be more appropriate for an adult, or depending what tekufa they're in, it may be more appropriate for a child. But I think that part of the chinuch that we give for Shabbos is that it is really an opportunity to turn one's mind elsewhere. I'm a very active person. I have a lot of things that I am constantly working on, thinking about, and Baruch Hashem, that's the way that people are supposed to live their lives, within reasons and within boundaries. But one of the experiences that I have, that sometimes I am almost, you know, when things bubble over, you know, that can get your active mind to a place where it doesn't seem to want to shut down or turn off or pivot or anything else. And that comes with extreme challenges. Sometimes we need to think of Shabbos as an opportunity to place our mindset elsewhere for so many good things. The Yesham Yisei Lefi Nister, as we see in the Evan Shlema, is a Tosefes Ruach HaKodesh, which allows us to just see things differently, appreciate things differently, understand things differently, and we need that space. We need that headspace. So the Kedushas Tzion story allows us to really appreciate the idea that this is a huge opportunity. It's not a lazy man's opportunity. It's an active man's opportunity. It's saying that I am allocating headspace to something which is going to make me so much broad, so much bigger, so much better. So I think that that's a chush of a reframe. Story about Shimshon Pinkus that I saw, it was in one of the Dirshu emails. It's that he was giving a shir and a shmuz about the chashivus there is in making a kvias itim for learning daily. This is not a chiddush to learn daily, but the necessity to be somewhat stubborn, I guess. Not stubborn in a, you know, a terrible way, but stubborn in your avodas Hashem to the extent that, like, you need to learn. It's like a chok. I remember, I believe it's in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It says that if you have a chok and for whatever reason you miss it, now that's already a chiddush. For whatever reason you miss it, we don't want to miss it. But to the extent that you miss it, you're mashlim. the next day. I believe the Mishnah Berurah discusses that as well. Meaning the idea is you need to treat it like so importantly. The Gemara in Taina says, you should always be soft like a reed, meaning flexible and not hard like a cedar, because a cedar, when the wind hits it, it blows down, as opposed to a reed. You have a little flexibility, you have a lot more longevity. I remember the Sharbas Rabin says, the exception is with Divrei Torah and Avodas Hashem, I think, is that we need to have a little bit of inflexibility. So the story says, is Rav Pinchas gave a shmooze, there was somebody who listened to it, he was leaving yeshiva for whatever reason, he made a Kabbalah, he said, I'm going to learn, I forgot if it was a Seder or a Blat Gemara every day, whatever it is. And you know the way these Kabbalos go. The first day is easy. The first week's okay. And then all of a sudden, Erev Pesach comes. And Erev Pesach has 30 hours to do in 24, right? And then, you know, Chol HaMoed comes and you're out and about and out of your schedule. All of a sudden, for those of us like me who thrive on scheduling, everything gets a lot more difficult. And then this comes, and then this comes, and then finally the real Nishayon Chayim, and this young Bachar gets engaged. It's a whole big thing. It's a whole big to-do. You know, before you know it, I'm fabricating at the time, but it's 2:30 in the morning. It's time to go to sleep. He realizes he hasn't learned his Blat Gemara yet, so he opens up the Gemara, and he starts learning, and he realizes that that day is the same day that he made the Kabbalah after hearing Rav Pinchas. Those facts aren't important. I mean, they are important, and for those of us who like the Hashgacha Pratis stories, and it was just this, and it was just this, that is wonderful. I didn't get too deep in the details as much as to say that that story repeats itself all the time, is that really there are really a couple kinds of people. There are the Chok Velo Yavor people, who are Echad Velo Mine Elef, and they're very, very wise about saying, I want to take on things only that I can do. Sometimes they don't reach far enough because they're kind of afraid about lifting on. There are some people who just don't start. And then there are people who, this is probably the Rov, who try to make Kabbalas, but you know they're hit or miss. So I will tell you from my limited experience, the people who are the Hamun Am who try to hit or miss, these stories are very important because there are a lot of people really, really trying. They, you know, they get the 80-20, and that's great. And I will make a ha'ara that I heard of a story about the Altar of Slobodka, that the Altar of Slobodka would had made Kabbalas for certain periods of time, just like we do with respect to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that it's a good idea to, you know, to sometimes make one for a period of time and see how that works and see how it sticks. So I'm gonna move, pivot first to my question because I want to make sure I get it, and then we'll toggle around as best as we can. Okay, so Moshe is called an Ish in Rashi in Yud Ches Zayin. Moshe is called an Ish. Rashi says I didn't know who's. You know, who's with who? Is it Yisro? Is it Moshe? But Moshe's got to be the Ish. So that's true. Then go take a look in Beis Chaf Aleph. Yisro is also called an Ish. So the question is, why is it that we have such a distinction, so many vortlich, about Moshe being called an Ish? Mivchar HaPninim. I'm jumping around, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I just want to make sure you get it. I don't remember if I did a Mivchar HaPninim last week. So Mivchar HaPninim HaToreach, somebody who puts effort, really exerts himself. B'bakashas HaChochma, who's trying to see Chochma U'Musar, that's what they're looking for. Chochma U'Musar is probably an allusion to Shlomo Melech right at the beginning of Mishlei, where he says that those two really need to come in tandem. So he says, Toreid Miknas Havonos v'Averos. It's going to keep them from doing the bad things. So this is the same sort of idea, I believe, that's brought forth in the Al-Shech when it says, Ratzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zachos Yisrael L'Fikach Yerbom Torah Mitzvos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a Zechus to Chal Yisrael, so he gave us lots of mitzvos, which is wonderful. But what do the mitzvos do? The mitzvos keep us busy from doing averos. So sometimes, I mean, we only have 24 hours in the day. If you're busy doing mitzvos, it's already a good start. Now, whether or not, you know, we get, you know, the moment's choice of of avoiding averus, that is what it is. And he says, "Umevi adam lema espol kala the lehov olam kayim," makes you love olam haba type things and forget, not and to be disgusted by olam hazeh things. So that's great. Meaning to say, two things: if you fill up your time doing good things, it's hard to do bad things. Just hard. Doesn't mean you won't, but you know, we all have yetzer hara, but it's going to make it a lot harder. One. Two is that eventually things stick in. You know, whatever input you put in your system, that's going to affect your motor. I think that, like, that's really the, you know, you look in Rabbeinu Yonah, for example, two places right at the beginning of Mishlei where he says things like this. One is where he's talking about the prerequisites to Avodas Hashem. Some of them are more Sur Meira kinds of things, keep away from bad stuff, bad input, bad people, bad ideas. And the other one is you want Chachma. You have to have a hunger for Chachma. Im tivak shenav kekesef, right? He talks about you should be seeking Chachma. Ki im l'chachma tikra, Rabbeinu Yonah says, you should even be davening for it. Meaning, if you're davening for good things, you're not davening for shtus, hopefully. You know, all these things is that, you know, we need to have a cheshek and kind of push ourselves in the right direction. So I think that we just need to make that attitudinal advocacy, and I think that it's very important. Back to where our question was. So Moshe is called an Ish, and that's that Rashi in Yud Ches Zayin. Rav Shach says, not everybody's zocha to be called an Ish. Okay, so this is the, you know, different terminologies for human, Ish, Odom. So the Meshech Chochma actually has a long piece where he says, like, the archetype of humanity is Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chochma, the Musar, the Midos, all these different things. And I will also say, if you're Medaik in a, I believe it's in Parshas Toldos, there's a Sephorno where it says that Akein Tikra Shmo Edom by Esav, it says Edom, and Sephorno says His Adem, be, you know, man up. Right, so you could say that this is like man qua the distinction of animal, right? And the idea is that not everybody who walks on two feet and speaks out of their mouth is a human. And we have that idea more deep in Nister, is that people can lose their Tzelem Elokim, which is really the point of distinction. And people can also lose that distinction by the way that they speak. Maybe you could say, right, V'ish l'fi mahalalo, people say mahalalo, what they praise, how they speak. Which is the difference between man, Ruach Chaya, is the Ruach Mamalala. So we just have to think about, like, what makes us humans. Last, Mamlechas Kohanim, you're going to be a Mamlechas Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh, I'm staying in Rashi, pardon me, I'm staying in Rishonim generally, but I would encourage you to take a look at the Netziv, who says that the ambiguity of Mamlechas Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh, is something to tell us that it could be slightly different for different people, which is a very nuanced idea. Rashi says that Mamlechas Kohanim, it's Tsarim v'Moshlim, like officers, princes, and rulers. Ramban and Ibn Ezra say Misharsim, because Kohanim have that kind of dual role. And so, in a certain way, Malachim do too, is they lead and they serve. Rav Avram bin Arambam said in the name of his father, it's a manhig that everybody follows. They follow and they try to emulate. Targum Yonasam says, there will be kings and Kohanim, and that is sufficient. And the Baal HaTurim said a really interesting idea, and one I'll end with, one that we should all be thinking about, is if the Klal Yisrael were Zocha, they would all be like Kohanim Gedolim, and in the future, that is precisely how it's going to be. Now, what the mechanics of that, I don't know, but that is definitely food for thought. Have a wonderful Shabbos.